Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is sponsored by Protein Rebel. And this month, the month of October, the spooky month, they are giving us some Run Easy Marine Collagen to give to you, my friends. I've been taking their collagen for quite a while now. It's got some scientific stuff behind it. It is hydrolyzed marine collagen powder, which helps to reduce aches and pains after runs and minimises the risk of injury, strengthens joints, tendons and ligaments, also improves skin, hair and nails. Mixes really easily into coffee, which is what I do, 2 spoons in my coffee, but can be mixed into any drink or porridge or anything like that, and can also be added to foods like yoghurt. I take 10 grams daily, which is 2 teaspoons in the morning and 2 teaspoons in the evening, and you start to feel the benefit after 2 weeks. I have got nice hair and I've got nice nails, but also it really does help my running, and it's not wanky and it's not really expensive. So the October giveaway is 2 large tins of Run Easy Marine Collagen, 200 servings. That retails at £112, which is incredible. If you would like to win this, just go to the link in our bio or Instagram, which is Ultrasound System Pod, click enter. Enter away, and we will announce the winner at the end of October. Just to remind you, this podcast is for grown-ups, not children. It has got some swear words in it and some very immature adult themes. But if you're on the school run, I'd advise you to fucking well switch it off now. On with the pod! Welcome to the Bailey and Alban. I think Alban's the right one, actually. A podcast. It's episode 80. And myself and Paul were just off mic chatting about rain, weren't we, Paul?
Yeah. So it's currently raining, although it's actually stopped because it always does whenever you sort of change your plans due to rain. And yeah, so I was a little bit late because I had to just drive the kids and my wife effectively to the end of the road so they could then walk the rest.
Very American of you. Very American of you, driving the kids and your wife to the end of the road.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, if I'd have driven them the whole way, then they'd have been too early. And also, so this is boring, but interesting, that our primary school has a safer driving zone or something. So if you drive to the actually to the school, you get fined. So the schools, the roads around the school are blocked off to traffic between like school hours. So you get a fine if you drive near it. So anyway, so you can't drive too close to school. I told you it's boring. But yeah, so I was a bit late because if they have to bike in the rain, they get very wet and annoyed, which is fine at the end of the day because then, you know, they can just change clothes. But I think if you start your day off wet, like sodden through, it just feels like I'm making the teacher's job a bit too hard.
You know me, I'm full of ideas, me. Really good ones as well. Pretty good ones. I've got some good ones for you. I've got some incredible race ideas for you. At least one, which I think is going to work. Race idea. Let me just write down the race idea because I forget to tell you. It's so good. Why don't you get down the shop? You could do two things. The first thing you could do is get down the shop and get one of those stupid outfits that fishermen wear, all in ones, completely covered, like
ghillie
dungaree.
Suit.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I think so. Something like that. Or is that when you're out on SAS? But anyway, I know what you
don't
mean.
Know. Whole thing, full body. They might sweat a bit, but it's not far, is it? If they ride their bike slowly and safely, they won't get too wet. You can do that. Or you could buy one of those machines you get at the airport that wrap your suitcase in cling film.
Yeah.
You could just wrap them in cling film, the whole of their body. So they're completely wrapped in cling film. So their school uniforms are preserved and put them on their bikes.
And just get the teacher just to get a big Stanley knife and just sort of slice down the side and peel out the child.
Let's see what the problem is.
Well, just because the joys, we're still not back home. I think every episode that we've done of this, I've been like, yeah, we'll be back home soon. But when we actually live in our actual house, they can walk to school and it's not too bad. But it's just that little bit, it's sort of like a 20-minute walk, which is fine for secondary school, I think. But for primary school, they're just...
Perfect for secondary school. She gets to go past the shop, buy a vape, have the vape or fags or whatever it is, a little quick nip of whiskey and then straight to school, you know. And there's that thing of, why are you late? Well, you know, I went right to go the wrong way because 20 minutes is quite a long time, isn't it?
It's long enough that they can have a bit of independence and that I don't have to live right next to a secondary school, but also not too far that you feel mean. That's the hope. But anyway, But
Paul
yes,
Albon chopping those apron strings, trying to chop those apron strings with the big axe.
I apologise for being a few minutes late.
Yeah, they apologise to me, apologise. It's not me, you've let down to viewers, listeners. How are you? What's apart from the fact that you're still living in a mobile hat home?
No, I'm living in an absolute hole. Well, for us anyway, I'm not happy with where we are. So we're moving back soon. We've got flooring, which is good. Yeah, I've been getting out, doing some running.
I'm going to be in time for Christmas. Yes, I said the C word.
I hope so. Blimey, I hope we're back next week. We've got carpet, we've got flooring. Currently, so so yesterday I had to be down on the North Downs doing Centurion works. Then I come home and the builder tells me, oh, the electrician's made a bit of a mistake. So at the moment, so we've got an ensuite on our new bedroom, and to have the ensuite lights on, you've got to have the bedroom lights on. So you wake up in the morning, or in the middle of the night, I need to go to the toilet, but you've got to turn
head
all
torch.
The lights
on. You're going to have to use a head torch.
And then, so he was like, oh, I'm sure he can fix it, because I'm sort of at the end of my tether a bit. So then I go downstairs and start playing with the light switches down there, and it's the same sort of setup. So we've got a little pantry and a cloakroom and stuff, and to have those lights on, you've got to also have all of the kitchen lights on. So it's either complete darkness or Blackpool illuminations and nothing in between. So once I've got off this, I will be going over, speaking to the electrician, and either completely losing my rag, or hopefully he can just say, oh, it's just twiddle and we're
How
done.
Does that happen? How does it happen?
I don't know.
Electrician, you've got one job. It's just a circuit thing, and how he managed to make that happen. Where were we? Oh, well, the old house of Shepton, that happened in Oscar's bedroom. So when you turned on the bathroom light, Oscar's bedroom light came on. It was like, but it wasn't an electrician that did it. It was Julius just putting new, like, fascias on the light switch things.
Yeah.
Very strange little house that was. Very strange.
Well, hopefully, this is going to be, it's just going to be the case of them taking off the little, the switches and playing. But
Maybe you get your kids to do it. It's a learning thing. Hey, kids, we've got a problem in the house.
Even the builder's like, I'm going to wait for him to come back. Like, he started playing with bits. But yeah, so we're getting to the point now with it all where it's the minute detail, but it needs to be right, because otherwise we'll sit there for the next 10 years staring at, like, the bit on the corner we didn't quite like and forgetting the other sort of 99.9% of it that we do like. But just
99,000 pounds worth of work that you've had done on your massive mansion.
Mate, so expensive. Oh my God. Crazy. I might as well have just started a fire and just started throwing £20 notes on it and doing that for 6 months.
Or a race company. Same price, isn't it?
I mean, it's just insane. And it's not the builder. I'm sure he's done all right out of it. I hope he is, because he's a good bloke, whatever. But it's the raw materials. Everything since COVID has just sort of doubled in price, just like wood and bricks and boring things. Not even like the fun things.
Have you
just
ever
not like...
played the board game Settlers of Catan?
No, that's the one that takes like 6 years, right? Like, it's a really long game.
But in that game, you get to what's the word? Swapped sheep for things like that to build your settlement.
Like a barter economy.
Like a barter economy. And I can't help but think if we were all a bit more Settlers of Catan, we'd all be a bit happier, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know how many race entries I'd have to give him to cover the cost of the extension.
Can you imagine? I love running. Yeah, I'll have race entry. It would have to be 7 lifetimes worth of race entries at your prices to cover that.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder how many, maybe I'll work it out. I wonder how many times around the world he'd have to run at my events to pay back for the, it's just so expensive. But like I say, we'll be, hopefully next week, we'll be back in. Oh, we've got to be out by the end of the month. We've given notice. So good. We're definitely moving back before November.
So it's not a very nice house then, because I'm looking to move, but I'm not looking to. Don't come here. Okay. All right.
To rugby, but not this house. But this is again, without going into my whole life history, last year we bought the house, and so when you go into estate agents and you say, "I'd like to buy a house," like, oh, come and have a cup of tea, sir. What would you like? And they treat you like royalty. When you go in saying we're looking to rent somewhere, I was treated like absolute scum. Same places.
That's the story of my fucking life. I'm 43, never owned a house. Probably lived in 30 houses. And the way they look at you, they're judgmental. So they look at you, I remember going into one in Balham, and they took one look at me, and they went, "You won't be able to afford to live here." I was like, "I'm sorry. What? Like, what are you fucking talking about?" At the time, I was earning about 85 grand a year. I'm like, "You don't know shit about me. Is it because I've got tattoos? Is it because I stink of booze? One of the two." But they are so, they just don't care, do they? They don't give a fuck.
When we lived in London and we rent, like when we were younger and we rented in London, we didn't have any of these problems. Like I think because everybody rents in London, there's no real sort of, I don't know, like, well, I say everybody, like a lot of people rent in London. And so maybe they treat you a bit nicer, but they were awful. They're just like, yeah, just look online, mate. It's like, oh, okay.
You
And
can't
then,
look online because they go in seconds. I know this from actually doing it myself.
exactly.
Guys, I'm looking for someone to live in the South Wales. No, Crickhowell, Abergavenny, that's what they are, the Beacons. If anybody knows anyone that whose granddad or grandma is about to die and is going to leave the house, don't know what to do with it, I'm happy to live in that house and keep it maintained. Thank you.
There we go. It's a public service announcement.
No.
But it's, yeah, I just couldn't believe the difference. Like the same places, and they treat you awfully.
I know. I know.
There's a lot of
I'm
money.
actually considering buying a house because since I stopped drinking. Here, this is a bit of inspiration for you. Since I stopped drinking and got my shit together, I've actually managed to save some money. And I've never had any money in my adult life. I've always had debt. In 3 years, I've wiped all of my debt. I have no longer have any debt. I don't have any credit cards. I don't have anything. And I've managed to save enough for a deposit for a house, which is pretty amazing, right? Problem is, self-employed, they're going to look at me like I'm a piece of shit. So.
If you need a mortgage broker, mine's very good. I worked with him for years in the bank. He's a good man. But
Okay, well, that's actually a good tip. It's
it's
a good mortgage
difficult.
broker's the one.
It's difficult to do self-employed, but it's not impossible. And especially at the moment, because I've got without turning this into the rest of his money or anything, I imagine people are trying to give out loads of money when they potentially shouldn't be, having seen that they're doing mortgages at seven times income, which was
Ooh.
what Northern Rock did. And that didn't go quite so well for them. It's the beginning of the end, I'd suggest, but
Talking at the beginning of the end, should we stop before we lose any more listeners? Are you guys
yeah,
still
so
there?
running,
Don't, it's okay,
running.
don't, no, that door's locked. You can't get out that door. You just sit back down and you listen to what me and Paul have got to say. Now, you did mention that you've been out in the North Downs for Centurion. What would you do? What would you do for them? Have you started
Oh,
marking up the course for the 200?
yeah, just like putting the arrows out. Yeah, all the arrows. I've dropped, you asked me to put all the bits on the course so you could pick up drop bags as you went along. So I put all those
Yes.
out for you.
Perfect. Already in October.
Yeah,
Amazing.
just in these great big plastic boxes for you. So I was down there for North Downs Way 50 and 100 stuff, just looking at aid stations and trying to sort some little bits out. So one of the with the North Downs Way especially, water is the biggest problem on that event, in that most of the aid stations don't have water taps, so you end up having to cart it in. So on the Saturday morning for the North Downs Way 50, we have two volunteers that spend 2 hours filling up water for us to then drop along the course on the way to the finish. However, I went to three aid stations and now we've got three taps we can use, so that's going to
Well,
save
what a
about
time
a
to be
ton.
alive.
Well, I know it's so I was driving back quite smug, or not, like quite happy. I had a good day out. And then thought, what a sad existence. But it is quite, it's genuinely will make the day a lot easier
Also,
for
it's
us.
better for the environment because you haven't got
Yeah.
vehicles carting around massive tons and tons of water, which is actually quite bad for the environment. And it's bad for the environment under hoof. Like because you've obviously got a heavier vehicle, but also for the carbon emissions. So actually, like you should have been head out the window listening to Sweet Home Alabama, being like, "Just saved the world. I've just saved the
It's
climate
little things
crisis."
like that. People don't, and you've got no reason to, and to a certain extent, it's not for you to care about, but you don't see that as part of the event. I was thinking, oh, well, how they, because you're looking, oh, they could just get water from there, but it's, yeah, but
No.
maybe they can't. Like, not everybody wants to let you fill up 300 liters of water on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Like, it's a bit of a balance to get it right, but it's good. It'll save. The North Downs Way is the worst one, and in terms of water, and we're trying to find places. So if it is a car park, we're thinking, right, well, can we go up the road somewhere where there's a tap and a toilet? That's sort of the holy grail.
I mean, an aid station, a village hall with a tap, a toilet, and a kitchen is the absolute holy grail, isn't it? Maybe a spare room that people could nap in. I don't know. Or to put bags in.
Well, this is, and a lot of the village halls, they don't get sort of ideas above their station. And so it's not really expensive. And we're giving them some money on a time when it wouldn't be used. Everyone wins. Some places you go to, if it's sometimes used as a wedding venue, they think that you're paying wedding prices. It's like, no. We just want some water and a trestle table.
We don't want a table with everybody's name on. They're not going to
No.
sit down and have a meal. So what they're going to do is they're going to traipse in here, make it really fucking muddy, and leave. Some of them are going to
Yeah.
cry. So
The world's worst wedding.
yeah. Do you remember when I did this North Downsway 100 Detling aid station? Were you around for that?
No, but didn't you do it in a Hawaiian shirt? I think I
So basically,
literally.
they put me as aid station manager, which I obviously love because I am incredibly. I think the only word I can use is bossy. It's not a sexist word. It's just the word I use because I am bossy. I
Yeah.
like being in charge. I like telling people what to do. It's why I'm a coach. I decided to theme it as Club Tropicana meets Hawaii. So everybody had grass skirts and we had this massive Hawaii theme, and all the food was Hawaii themed, pineapples and cheese on sticks, pizza. We had these like grass mats for people to lay on the floor. We put the disco ball on. We had inflatable sharks. We had just like Club Tropicana playing round and round and
Yeah.
round on loop. It was fucking incredible. However, people were coming in and walking out because they thought it was a wedding reception. They thought they'd walked into someone's wedding reception because it
Nice.
was very dark in there in the night time. Because like, we turned all the lights down. We were like, let's just have a party. There were
Yeah.
people like, it was just incredible. There were people dancing. What a day that was. That was my first taste of Centurion volunteering. I loved it. I just bloody
Good place
loved
to do
it.
it as well.
Yeah,
Bottom of
it
Detland
was.
steps.
Yeah, when everyone's trying to pull out, you're like, no, you're going to go on, my friend. You're going to go on. It was
I think
good.
I've said before, but I had the Strava segment from Detlin Steps to Hollingbourne. But this was back in the day when about six people used Strava. So I doubt I've still got that anymore.
I've got the Strava segment at the moment for coming off Table Mountain, which it's actually local legend, which I'm very pleased with, seeing as I don't live there yet.
Yeah, where's Table Mountain?
That's in Beacons. It's in Crickhowe.
Oh,
It's that
okay.
big mountain that you call out Crickhowe. But because I go there a lot to do workshops, I've been up and down it more times than most people that live there.
Nice.
Okay, we have got a list of things to talk about, right? Events last
Yes.
week. I would like to take one moment. This is a moment of congratulations for you, Paul Albin, who you had an event last week, and two of my athletes went to that event, Lisa Richards and Lynn, whose second name I've forgotten, which is terrible of me, but I have. And both of them had the greatest time of their lives, even though it pissed it down with rain all day. And both of
Oh,
them
yeah.
said that they were just joyful. They were joyful. And that's because you put on a great event. So well done. Thank you very much. How was your event, even though it was running?
It was wet. It wasn't great. I think I chatted to Lisa afterwards. I'm sure it was Lisa. I definitely
She
chatted
went
to one of
and
them
she
and said,
volunteered at the 10K afterwards, at
Yeah,
the thing afterwards, yeah.
yes.
Because I try and get all my athletes to volunteer because I want them to see that's, yeah, I want them to see as much of the community as possible. I think it gives them an education that I can't give them to see people doing that stuff. And it really inspires them as well, gets them into the community. So I think all coaches should push their athletes to volunteer. So yeah, I know it was a short one, but she loved it. She absolutely loved it. Apparently you sent her up to the top of a hill.
Yeah. So I'll talk about how the day went, but the volunteering at night is quite funny at Cannock Chase. So the day went really well. It rained just consistently all day. So at some points it was quite heavy, but even when it wasn't heavy rain, it was just like drizzle. And so it started off drizzle, and the runners were like, "Oh, this is all right." I'm thinking, "Yeah, it's all right for you because you're running, but it's not great for me. I'm standing getting wet and cold." Well, cold. I was standing under a gazebo. But then it started to get heavier and heavier, and then the
I'm
sort
just
of
saying, if you had that wrap machine, that cling film wrap machine, you wouldn't have been
yeah,
getting
just wrap
cold.
everything,
Yeah.
just wrap
All
it all up.
the volunteers, the whole aid station.
Yeah.
Everyone's bags. Everyone's drop bags, wrap them in it.
Yeah. Again, and just you just get it at the end. Don't worry about it. But yeah, it went fine. But entries numbers were really low. I think I discussed this. I was looking at my notes from last time, and I think I might have mentioned it last time. But for some, it's just October seems to be an issue for me, I think.
And me as a coach, and Damien too, we were talking about losing athletes. I'm like, I've lost four athletes this month. He's like, yeah, I've lost six. He's like, it's the time of year. And it is the time of year. People have done their big races, so they're starting to relax, but also Christmas, the C word, and they're starting to save money. I swear to God. And it's
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
and then they start to save money. They start to hunker down for winter. They start to save money. They're not doing much exercise because they've done their big race or event. And then when it comes to January, it explodes again because everybody feels fat and sad.
But I've got really good numbers for November. So this is what I don't
Ooh.
get. I had really good numbers in September. So I sold out the event. And they're only like, just for anybody that doesn't know, like they're not big events. I'm not talking like 10,000 people. It's 100 odd people. But I had 100 people in September. I then had 50 people in October. And I've got like 85 for the end of November. So that will be 100 people as well. So it sort of just dips in October. And I've had it the last couple of years, and I thought it was the venue because it's a bit further. So I was used in Amptill, which is an amazing place to run, but it's a bit further away from sort of like my core audience. So I thought, oh, maybe it's the venue. So I changed venue. Cannock Chase is normally really popular, so I thought that's sort of a safe bet. And I had low numbers again. So I've written in my diary in like big thick marker pen. It's like Excel, but imagine big thick marker pen.
Imagine if you could use big thick marker pen in Excel. I'd love that.
You just put it in bold, I guess, but I don't think I really needed that. But no events in October. So I'm just gonna leave October free. I'll enjoy myself every October.
I can't wait for next October when people are like, Paul, why haven't you got an event in October? Because there's going to be
Well, that's what it'll be. Yeah, that's what it'll be. But then there's a core group of runners when I could put events on sort of 5 days a week, and I'd probably have a lot of them turn up. So they'll turn up, but I don't get sort of like the extra people around it that are needed to make the business sustainable. Like, I've got a core group, sort of about 25-30% of people that turn up, and they're there for every event. So they'll be there, but they haven't got the other 70%. So I don't know where they go. But maybe it's just odd. It is odd and frustrating. But the event was really good. Cannock Chase is a beautiful place to go running. We barely touched the sides of it. It started off effectively dry. Well, not dry, but like underfoot, fine, really, because it's all on normal path. But by the time it had just been a whole day of rain, it was a bit grubby underfoot by the end, so people were sort of slipping and sliding a bit. But it's trail running October, so you should really come with trail shoes, I think. Like,
you really should have a look at those new Innovate Trail talons, everybody, because they're really, really good.
Well, I quite like the look of those Road Fly ones that you wore. But
yeah, they're not suitable for Cannock Chase.
No, but I need some new road shoes. But anyway,
the Road Fly are very good. They are very good, but they are very, very road. And I wore mine yesterday, and it's got a little bit of farm track. There's road, bit of farm track. And I did do a skid on the farm track, which is quite interesting. Okay. Because they've got nothing on them. They're very light, but they are great
for like
the trail. But if anyone's looking for trail shoes, I would go Trail Talon, because honestly, it's like the Trail Fly meets the Mud Talon. It's like they're very, very bungee. God, they're amazing. Even running down wet, grassy, steep hills, the wet grass. They cling on to the wet grass. It's incredible.
Just going to have to pause for 1 second. I've locked my wife out. If I don't pause now, she's going to kill me. Pause the recording. I've made a walk off in the rain. Sorry, everybody.
Where's she home? Isn't she supposed to be at work? For fuck's sake, why isn't she at work? Working?
Because she's had to take the children to school so I could speak to you, which is always a bit of a funny one to explain to the children that he's got to work, which involves just chatting to the computer. They'll work it out when they're older.
Well, you have seven. When you have, like, when on the list things you want to talk about, right?
Yes.
Runfluencers and their effects on entries and events generally. That's an interesting thing.
Yes.
What do you mean?
So, as you said, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you find the term runfluencer like demeaning, or I don't know, but you do.
I find it offensive when people think that my job is to be given things for free. And to, I think influencer is a dirty word. But the thing about influencer is it's about having influence, isn't it? So I know that I do have influence on people. I don't know what I just don't want any part of it. But I will always tell people when I think things are good, like Big Bear events or Innovate Shoes or fucking Protein Rebel or Centurion, or when I think something is good. But the thing is, the difference between me and a lot of those other people is I actually do the thing before I tell people it's good. Whereas I feel like a lot of them don't do the thing. They just get given a wadge of money, which I honestly, everyone, I've never been given money to promote anything. Been given kit, but I've never been given money, and I think it's a bit different.
Yeah, I think it depends how it's said, right? Like, oh, you're an influence. Like, it depends what tone and in what context the word's being used. But like you say, you influence people and you run.
I prefer the term inspiration wrangler.
There you go. Anyway, however you want to phrase it, you do running and you're on the internet, and people come along to my events because you've told them that they're good. So obviously, exactly. That works well for me, and I can sort of see quite a direct, you say things, people turn up. And we've had over the years that's worked really, really well. When we had the last November, the podcast, when you all came to Daventry, There's 20 odd people came.
There is
Brilliant.
quite a lot of chat. Well, there'll be another one of those at some point, I'm sure, but there's a lot of chat about Trail Fest next year.
Excellent.
A
Yeah,
lot
I
of
think it.
chat about Trail Fest. So some people are like, oh, well, I've got another race because there's lots of races going. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go to a race. You don't have to go and run. You could just turn up and support people because it's supposed to be like a social. So I
Yeah.
think Trail Fest will be a bit of a takeover for people because people are
Excellent.
already excited about it.
That's good. But I guess my point on it is when you see, so I follow a few people. I try not to, because as you were saying last week with Holly, like Instagram's a weird place. But I follow a few people and they go and do events and you're like, okay, cool. But I'm probably not going to enter that event just because I saw them doing it.
Have you
But I
ever watched
wonder.
any of those videos where it's like, hey, come with me as I run Race to the Stones? They've got their GoPro. Have you ever watched one of those from start to finish?
No, but I was chatting to somebody who does loads of ultras, like does a lot of running, doesn't not necessarily like super experienced, but does a lot of running and enters lots of events. And he was telling me like he's always looking for YouTube videos on things. Like
Oh.
that's how he finds out about events is YouTube videos. And I was like, I've literally never watched a YouTube video about running. That doesn't involve me. I mean, that makes me sound awful, doesn't
I mean, I've never,
it?
the only times I've watched them is when someone's gone, have you seen this? It's absolutely awful and hilarious. So I've watched it in a way where I'm like, that person's a total dick. And it makes me
Yeah.
laugh because the person is
Okay,
basically like,
yeah.
Alan Partridge presents the South West Coast Park. And I'm like, this is amazing. But I would never watch one as a recce, ever.
No, well, this is it. Or to think, oh, that was so inspiring. I'm going to go and enter that now. And
I've
I just.
never, this is awful. I've never watched a running film where I'm like, that's really inspired me. Films, that sort of thing, in fact, quite the opposite. Most of the films I watch are very, very diabolical. So it's like the fucking Barkley films and stuff like that. I'm like, no, that's not for me. No. But each their own. So anyway, Runfluencers. Let's get on with the Runfluencers thing.
But I just sort of wondered, I guess, aloud as to how much impact those people have on events. Because I would imagine some of them just get given a free place, but some of them with big followings, if you've got 100,000, 200,000 people follow you, you're going to want cash as well. Like, so, you know, is there any benefit? Does anybody ever enter an event because they saw their favorite sort of running influencer type person do an event who's been paid 3 grand to talk about it for the next 6 months or whatever? I don't know what the costs are. I just
God, I, if I
wondered.
was paid 3 grand to talk about it, I'd talk about it. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. Like, you
Paul
know,
pay, Paul, Paul pays me £4,000 a year to talk about his event.
that's what it is, yeah.
He
And
does.
money well spent for those two people that turned up last week. 2 grand a pop, perfect.
One of them volunteering to try and get a free place anyway. Perfect.
But it's yeah. I just wondered what the if people look at those things because what's quite interesting. So again, I think I spoke about it last time. I've been asking, done a little survey off the back of entries, asking people some questions and so on. And when you ask people, do you follow influencers on Instagram? They all say no. But I think it's the same sort of concept of when you sort of ask people, do you sort of see advertising and are you influenced by advertising? Well, they are, they just don't know about it. So people follow, I guess, celebrities or influence or whoever these people are, and they don't really think of it as I follow them because they run and influence me. But that happens anyway. So I guess, and that's why people pay the money. That's the reason that the influencer market is just crazy money is because it works. You're not going to pay a Kardashian £1 million for one post and it not going to work. Like
No, but I think it's
there's
quite
genuine
niche.
value.
Isn't it quite niche? You've got to be up at Kardashian levels.
But yes and no. But if you then go, so if you've got 100,000 followers and you're an ultra runner and you're trying to sell ultra running stuff, you've got your really niche market and you're going direct to your audience. Whereas, you know, a
But you've got to
Kardashian
be
smart
careful of this,
people.
right? Because you can have loads of followers. But no engagement. So you can have hundreds of thousands of followers, but very little engagement. And I can name you five influencers off the top of my head that have got over 100,000 runfluencers, or over 100,000 followers. But when you go onto their posts and you look at how many people like their posts, comment on their posts, it's 28, 32. It doesn't fucking make sense, right? So it's okay, I'm going to blow my own trumpet now. One of the things people like about me is my engagement's very, very high because all of my followers are very, very engaged, which means that if I say do something, generally people tend to do it, which is a good thing, right? But only if you use your powers for good. Only if you use your fucking powers for good. And I will
Which
not.
is why.
I won't take money for promoting something. I'll take kit from Innovate 100%, but they don't pay me. Like, I'd like to make that very clear that I'm not a paid athlete. But only if I really, really like it. And if I don't really like it, I'm not interested. The same with race companies, because the last thing I want to fucking do is send people to a race that is shit and then come back and go, and maybe go, oh, actually, I've not done the race. So, like I've been asked by a few race companies, would you mind just mentioning us? Because we're a really small independent race company. I'm like, not until I've done your race, mate, or at least volunteered, because if something goes tits, then I can't be held responsible. The other person that gets asked to do this a lot is Damien, because of like people saying our race is vegan or our race is environmentally friendly or our race is linked with the Barclay. But again, and it's a, and there's a real like, oh, but I really want to help this guy, so it seems like a really nice guy. But it's like until you've done the event, you can't say it's good. It's like when you're asked to do like bloody the comments on the back of books. People send me books all the time. They're like, could you give me a quote for my book? I'm like, not really, because I don't have time to read your fucking book. Or I have read your book and it wasn't very good. I didn't like it, so I'm not going to put the comment. It's about the authenticity, isn't it?
And I mean, I think you can normally tell those sort of people that, not to say that that sounds rude, but you can tell when somebody's sort of being paid to do it, even if they've not put like ad or whatever, because it just doesn't really come across well. And I'd never ask somebody for a recommendation that hadn't done the thing. So it'd be different somebody coming along and then you being like, oh, did you, if you really enjoyed it, I'd really appreciate you telling people you enjoyed it. But to go out to somebody and say, you've never tried my product, but can you tell people how good it is, please, for free? Like, that's odd. That's an odd question to ask, right?
Yeah, it is. It's all odd. It's and but how do you think it's affecting races? Do you think that the ones with the most money are paying people to say that we're the best race? Or do you think people are
Maybe.
do you think
I mean,
people are do you think people are wise to it? So if I look at Race to the Carphone Warehouse, if I look at UTMB have an influencers race. There's a race that's like 15 kilometers that just basically influences. It's just like a guest or a VIP race, basically. It's like
wow.
guests, VIP, influencers go and do it. There's fucking GoPro poles everywhere. There's more selfie sticks than there are actual poles. And it's just a massive advert. And Race to Carphone Warehouse has got influencers every fucking way. There's more and more influencers because they've got the money to give people free places. And they know that those are the sort of people that are going to. And then, you got the raw dogging thing this year of the guy that went and raw dogged Race to the Carphone Warehouse. And then you've got like, they always have a little story, that's, but it's someone that's already got 50, 60, 70,000 followers that the thing happens to. So do you think that, that's going to mean, again, the ones with the money are going to be the ones that take the people because, you don't have loads of, you shouldn't need to pay people to, say how great your races are. I've just started a course, right? A proper accreditation course for co life coaching. And life coaching is not regulated. So there's no actual accreditation you can get, like when you're a doctor or a physio or whatever. But I'm doing this course, which is really well respected. It's quite a difficult thing to do and rare. It's quite expensive. It's really expensive. But I'm like, I really want to know how to understand how to use these tools that I'm using with my clients. So I'm doing it. Now, the point of that is that anybody can be a life coach or anybody can be a coach, but it's about your reputation. It's your reputation, or it's how that precedes you. So it's about how people talk about you generally, but it's also about how much money you've got to promote it. And it's the same with a fucking race company, isn't it? Like it's about your reputation ultimately, because there is no regulating body around race companies, but people are paying people that have got lots a big audience to advertise it for them.
And you can make it look, it's quite easy to make websites look smart. It's very easy to get some good photography. All you can make it look incredibly professional, and then you've got someone that's got a big following, and they say it's great and it's going to be brilliant. And when it all then goes to shit, they're off. So I think I spoke about my fun in the lakes on the event where I essentially thought we were all going to die, and it was shockingly bad.
Oh yeah, that was
And
funny.
yeah,
It
and
wasn't funny though,
all,
because people nearly died.
well, I mean, in their defense, they didn't, but the fact they didn't was just like roll of the dice stuff. But all the people that were promoting that beforehand, like names that I know and names that do other things in lots of other places, they all scuppered. It's funny, they didn't seem to mention the day out that they had and how much it was awful.
That's interesting because I think that you should set that they have a duty of care. But then that's the thing about values, isn't it? It's like, are you going to be honest?
Yeah.
But I did. I was given a free place at the lap,
Yes.
But it was the most beautiful ultra. And Davey was banging on to me about it. And I was like, all right, then I'll do it. And I did it. And honestly, it was all right. That my big review is it's all right. It's not the most beautiful ultra in the world. It's all right. There's too many people there for my liking. There was a
It's
bottleneck that I
busy.
hated. It's fucking busy. I'm not into it. I wouldn't do it again. I think there could have been there's a better route around Windermere. But I was just like staring up at Fairfield Horseshoe going, I wish I was up there instead of down here. It was all right. And I'd say to people, it was a great first ultra. It's 24-hour cutoff. But for me, it's not for me. That's going to be what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say, oh my God, it was amazing. It was so good. Such camaraderie. Like, I just was annoyed because there are people everywhere all the time. They're getting on my tits. I'm going to say that. It's the same with I played for Lakeland. It's the same with Lakeland. I will always be honest. So I think it's about taking your information from people that you fucking trust.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that links into the question that you sent me that somebody sent in as well. That's a good segue.
To Correspondence Corner!
It's Correspondence in a Corner. It's Correspondence Corner.
Right, so how can we be confident that they are good race organisers when looking at new races?
Who's this from? Who's this from, Paul? It seems like you're just reading words.
Sorry. I get so little correspondence on my episodes. I don't know how to do it. So this is from Rachel via email, which is all good. So what's the email address?
It's not actually by email. Yes, ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Thanks very much, Rachel. Thank you so much for your correspondence.
So essentially, I think Rachel's had a bad experience on an event where she said she had to resuscitate somebody mid-race.
Which I
assume wasn't part of the event. I assume that
just
was somebody
write
who
that
was
down as part of one of my race ideas for later. Resuscitation.
Excellent.
Race. Cool.
Like a race around the
It's life
the
or death.
Hospital.
That's what I'm gonna call it.
Run around.
This race is life or death. Yeah, I'm gonna get some really ill people and mix them with normal people and get them all to run. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good. So her question essentially is, how can you be confident that they're good race organisers? And how do you know if there's good medical provision or support at races? I'll go the second bit first. So the medical stuff, I mean, that is a bit of a wild west. So when I first started, the first few events that I did, I'd gone and done like emergency first aid course. And I think I'd sent a few volunteers on to do it as well. So there were people there who could do emergency first aid. And that is, I guess, legally enough to do it.
Is there a legal thingy? Is there a rule that you have to have a medic for a certain amount of people on a race? Do you have to have a medic to be insured on your race?
Ish. So if it's a road race, there's really specific like if you've got this amount of people and they're doing this distance, you've got to have a doctor and this, that, and the other. So things like London Marathon will have full-on doctor teams, like not just someone that's done a bit of first aid and St John's Ambulance.
There's lots of St John's Ambulance, though. They put Vaseline on my fucking sunburn. It made it worse.
St John's Ambulance, I don't know, this might be controversial. Obviously, and whenever discussing the NHS, the people that work in it are brilliant. The organisation, maybe not necessarily so brilliant. St John's Ambulance, I feel, is a little bit the same. So on my first event where I wanted to have medical cover, St John's Ambulance, brilliant, booked it in months before, a week before the event. Oh, we haven't got anybody to do it. So, right, great. Well, you've screwed me there. And they do that a lot, I'm told, where they'll say that they can cover your event, and then the week before they're trying to get people to come do it, and they can't do it. Because
is St John's Ambulance a voluntary organisation, or is it not?
Yes. So from what I understand, the people that turn up to do it don't get paid, but I pay. So I'm paying St John's Ambulance. So money goes into St John's Ambulance, and then it is used to help train the people and to do the stuff St John's Ambulance do, which I'm sure is great and, you know, all very good. But they don't then pay the people that turn up on the day. And right. So if you're not getting paid to do something, even if you're all well-intentioned, I think you're more likely to have a reason you can't do it. I think having that little bit of pay does help. But my point was going to be, so I had what I think would have been legally fine medical cover. I then went to a race directors meeting that RaceCheck organised in 2019 at a WeWork in West Hammersmith.
I used to work at a WeWork, and I would like to say that I blame that WeWork for the con- continual escalation of my drinking habit because it had free beer downstairs on taps, and you could go and get it whenever you fucking wanted.
What an odd place.
It had a fucking shuffleboard table in the basement and like a pool table. Every time I felt like a break, I could just go and have a pint and play shuffleboard. It was quite incredible.
But don't you have to work? Like I'm not knocking what you're doing.
No. I worked in the music industry.
Things?
I worked in the music industry. I was working.
Right, like, just very odd. I mean, and apparently WeWork was built on sand and it's all collapsed. But anyway.
WeWork has vanished now, mainly because everybody was too drunk to do any work or pay the bills. So.
Well, it's because the guy that ran it just sort of ran a complete Ponzi scheme, I think. Like, that was the gist of it. Like, really, right, the investors, I think it's, I want to say SoftBank in Japan put
Hey,
in
guys, we're not talking about
billions.
WeWork. We're back to talking
anyway,
about St. John's
right.
Ambulance.
So, I went to this meeting, and I think it was the guy that ran the Cardiff half or the Swansea half talked about somebody dying on his event, and he said they had medics there, on like hands-on medics, within 15 seconds, and the guy died. Nothing anybody could have done. And he talked about having to go to a coroner's court and having to explain exactly what happened to the family that are sitting essentially on the other side. And he said he could look them in the eye and tell them that he did everything he possibly could. And I heard that and I thought, shit, I don't want to be in that
situation. I've
heard
that from race directors too. Where the race
Yeah,
director's been in tears and they've been like, it was the worst experience of my life.
And I've never had something like that happen. I mean, I put on enough events that just like the percentages mean that sometimes something's going to happen that's going to be bad.
You've had broken fingers.
Yes, I've had broken fingers. I've had some people have like, you know, I say decent, like
you've
real
had broken,
injuries.
You've had broken hearts when they've not done enough laps.
I had somebody that sort of like had really bad heat exhaustion as well, which
really?
Was really bad. Yeah. And then when I did I think the year Anna did the Canuck 50, I had some people really struggling with heat exhaustion there as well.
Paso del Canuck.
Had to stop at mile 47 of a 50 miler and get driven back because he was just all over the place. Like,
oh,
really gone. Anyway, so I then made the decision, right, I need to have a medic. So I now have a medic that is there, 4x4, full kit, everything. And because of the way that my events work, he sits, the nicest man, Nick, the nicest man, but effectively he sits in his 4x4, comes and takes the mick out my mum and dad, has a biscuit, and then gets on with some work. And then every now and then when somebody needs some help, he'll come and help them. So it works out.
Is he
out
a pet medic then? Is he a private medic?
So he works for a big company called Events Medical Services, and it's not Glastonbury, but some of the really big, what's the Creamfields? They'll
Oh,
do
yeah.
Creamfields.
So he's really good with people that have taken overdoses of speed, ketamine, and that sort of thing.
Yes, he
Perfect.
Hears some hilarious stories. Some of them, I think he told me that when they were up, because it's in Liverpool, right? There's one of them
no,
in Liverpool.
No, Creamfields is Winchester. Oh, no, that's the other one. That's Dancing with Dance Face. Anyway, it's somewhere,
There's one in Liverpool, anyway. And he was saying that there were kids on ketamine that were like 10, 12.
Oh.
And you're having to then deal with these. And then the parents turn up and the police don't really... Crazy. Anyway, crazy,
the parents
crazy.
So, ketamine too. Maybe that's how you get your kids to go to school in the rain. Just give them some ketamine.
Yeah. Maybe that'd be nice.
This is amazing. It's so refreshing.
Yeah. But they do. They do some really big events. They do like horse. It's a big, big company. But he can then just sort of drive up, sit there, not really use any kit, get on with some work on the laptop, go home. Obviously, I pay them, but it's a nice little day out for them. So I always have those people. Centurion, again, brilliant. They've got Raymond medics everywhere. But medics are expensive. And it's the sort of thing, and we always say this, always take the sort of the mick out of the medic, how most events he doesn't do anything. And so we just saw, as soon as somebody has any sort of ailment, we're like, no, get him to put a plaster on. I'm paying for that. Paying
but
hundreds of pounds
you
for that.
You want the medic to be bored. That's the ultimate event is the medic is bored shitless.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you want. And you don't want people having injuries of any sort. But it's the sort of expense that you're paying it out and you're thinking, oh, I've paid it out and I've not used it. And so it's a simple one to cut until something goes wrong and then you're screwed. Because
honestly, you with my workshops, it takes 15, 17 to 20 people out. And I take Chris Hewitt, who is a Paramedic. He's a private paramedic because he's got full fucking training and he's a mountain and he can take out and he can do the run leader, but he can also do that. Just so I know, if something fucking happens, it's okay. Because if something happens on that hill, like you, and I have to go to coroner's court and I have to look someone in the eye and say, we had no medical provision. You know, everybody signs a death form. Everybody knows that it's a risk and everybody is a grown up. It's a bit like going out on the hill on your own. But the same thing, Paul, I can't live with myself if I don't feel like I'm giving. You know, it's a dangerous sport. The any sport is dangerous. Anything where your heart rate is elevated is a little bit dangerous, isn't it?
And you can't, so when it comes to waivers in the UK aren't worth the paper they're written on because
Shh, don't tell people that. Fuck's sake.
you can't sign. So I sent you a limited company, but as a person, I can't sign away my duty to put on something that's safe. So I can't, if you sign a bit of paper saying I know it's going to be dangerous and I make you go over live electric, like something really dangerous, that's still on me. You can't have waived away your right. In America, it's different, I think, because it's a different system. But you cannot just sort of say, oh, well, they signed a bit of paper, so it's not on me. It doesn't work like that.
But
They can still,
psychologically, it does. Because if
yeah,
people sign a bit of paper, they think they can't sue you.
but there's that, but also it puts you in the frame of mind of, oh, this must be quite dangerous. So that, like, it serves a purpose, but if it came to a court, a scrap of
I
paper
can't
with a
fucking believe
scribbled.
you've just told everybody this, you absolute dick.
But
I'm going to get
you,
sued now.
so do you make people sign a waiver then?
I make people sign a form that basically says you they understand that this is very dangerous. They're doing it under their own steam and they understand the risks involved in it, and it's got all of the risks outlined.
That's different though. So that, because if you make them sign that, and then they trip over a route, and then they say, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be dangerous. Well, that's part of what it should be. There's the expectation of, oh, well, of course it's going to be like this. But if you sort of tell them, if you make them sign that waiver and then you make them run down the M25,
No. There's I
that's,
do full risk assessments for every workshop I do that are quite belt and braces and frightening because I did a risk assessment workshop when I worked at a rat race. And at the time, I was like, this is boring. But now I'm like, hurrah! So I've got that in there because I'm like, if I have to go to court, I want to be able to present this like I've done it properly. And then I do this basically. These are the risks that are presented to you. Do you agree to the fact that these might come up? Blah, 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 tick, 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 tick. If you die, you can't sue me. You can't sue me anyway because you're dead. But you know what I mean? I know some of it is not worth the paper it's written on, but again, it puts you into the right mindset of this is something I need to have my wits about me on. But also, it stops people from being dicks. It really does. I think it really does stop people from being dicks.
There
I'm not
was
taking them
some.
anywhere terrible, though, and I've got mountain leaders with me and I've got a medic. So it's like, I'm not
But
going to
that's
take
the
them to the top
point.
of a hill if it's super, super dangerous. If it is super dangerous, I'll make sure I've got provision and experts to look after them.
But this is, and so if you got them to sign the waiver, but you didn't do any of that stuff, the waiver's redundant, two of them together, then you're good. It was pointed out to me a few months ago how no one's going to sue you because you've got nothing to give. So, well, not you, but like for
No, I
me.
literally haven't because my accountant is so brilliant. It looks like I'm not making any money. Again,
No.
I shouldn't have said that on the podcast, but there you go.
So this has been a good financial podcast about dodging your tax dues and
Yeah, and your
everything good.
responsibilities. How to dodge tax and your responsibilities. That's what the podcast is called. Lovely.
This is the thing of, like, you do all these things, obviously do it safely, so you put on safe events. But the fear of being sued, it shouldn't be the, my fear is, like I say, having to look at somebody thinking, you know, your dad could have been saved, or your daughter, or whatever it is, I could have saved their lives, but I thought I'd save a few hundred quid because, you know, money's tight. I'm not doing that. So that's why I did
The other
medics.
thing is, if someone has a bad experience, that you're doing a disservice to your industry because people won't
Yes.
go and race again. Which brings me neatly onto this event that happened at the weekend, where I got two people send me messages about Trail Escape, the Trail Escape event, which was it Bath to Bristol or Bristol to Bath? One of them.
One or the other.
Anyway, we've got a little voice note from our friend and compadre, Dean Cox.
Hi, Ellie. Okay, so October 5th, I did the Trail Escape Bristol to Bath marathon. There's a marathon distance opened to hikers and runners, as well as a 25k distance as well for hikers. It all seemed very professional. They're a brand new company, and I think this might be their third event they've actually done in real life. With running, they seem very, very nice. The volunteers are very lovely, and a lot of people had a lot of good experiences. I had a few niggles though along the way with them. start off the actual port-a-loo situation. There were four port-a-loos and one urinal one for quite a lot of people, to the point where I didn't get to go into a port-a-loo before going. I actually found a port-a-loo which belonged to a builder about 4.5 kilometres in that I probably shouldn't have used, but it was on the side of the road and unlocked, so I used it. There's also reports as well that in this port-a-loos there was no toilet roll in any of them by the time we got there. Not fantastic. That was number one. Number two, there was meant to be 6 aid stations. Turns out there were only 4. 2 of them had water only, which was the first one and the last one. The 2 in the middle were meant to have food. Now, the food was meant to be sandwiches, flapjacks, and crisps. When I got to the second aid station, which is 14 miles in, they went, yeah, we run out of flapjacks. Yeah, and the sandwiches, they're not for the runners, they're for the hikers only. As your class is a runner, you're not allowed to have one. Yeah, I've got my supplies here that we have the exact amount just for the hikers, but nothing for the runners, unfortunately. We run out, so you can just have a packet of hoisin duck crisps and water. Or have an electrolyte, which is literally a tube of high-fiber electrolyte tablets, which you have to decant yourself. I was like, okay. Or a tin can of fizzy pop. Which at the time wasn't the really best timing for that. How do you dispose of a tin can mid-race? I don't know. On trail. Successfully. And then at the very end of the race, there was the run out of water at the end. I appreciate I'm more of a middle to back of pack person. But obviously the hikers, I finished 4 hours before the end of the race. And at the end, they ran out of water. So all they had left were a lovely selection of non-alcoholic beer. Now, I'm not a drinker, nor do I like beer. So I thought, I don't want any of these things. So I was just a bit like, that's not great. On the whole, they did have, the volunteers are fantastic and lovely, all really, really positive, and quite regular along the route. There's a lot of good emails around. At the end, they had women's and men's fit t-shirts. That's lovely and inclusive. But on the whole, there's a few bits that I wasn't fantastic about. But there we go. A lot of information. But yeah. Anywho.
Okay. So Trail Escape, apparently they've done 3 events. They've put 3 events. This was their third one. They're owned by an angel investor company who do corporate, right? So they say they've got loads and loads of experience and they've got this corporate company behind them. Now, from Dean's experience, Dean was mid to back of pack. And then from Julius's experience, Julius was running with Pickle. So Julius was mid to back a pack. The same things have come up, right? Now, we don't know about their medical provision, but we do know about their toilet provision, where Julius has told me that there were 5 port-a-loos at the start and a huge men's urinal. My question to the organisers, and I have sent them an email, but they haven't got back to me yet, is why was there not a female urinal? Because we can have female urinals, they have them at Glastonbury. But if you're going to make provision for men to have a men's urinal, make provision for women to have a women's urinal. There were no female toilets. There were all the toilets, the 5 port-a-loos at the start had nothing in them. There was no toilet roll, no nothing. Then apparently behind the houses at the back, there were another 5 port-a-loos hidden away. But Julius was like, I was late to the start because I needed to go for a poo. And sorry, Julius, but he did say that. And then when he started, the hikers and there were walkers and there were runners and they were all mismatched into waves. But one of the biggest things I want to ask you, Paul, was this thing about the aid stations. So even though everyone had paid the same amount of money, there was a different provision for walkers than 4 runners. And these sandwiches came out and the runners weren't allowed to have a sandwich because the sandwiches were for the walkers who had a different colour bib. So the only thing available to the runners or the aid stations were, drum roll, low fat, low calorie, hoisin duck crisps, flapjacks that were vegan, had very little sugar in them, Dr. Funk canned fizzy pop, which has no sugar in it at all. It's basically just carbonated water with a little bit of flavour in it, and in a can, so you have to take the can away and then fucking get rid of the fucking can and water. And everything was low fat, and then the sandwiches were there, and they were like, you can't have a sandwich because those are for the walkers. What do you think about that, having different provision for different speeds of people on the same race?
It's very odd. So you sent this through over the weekend, and then I had a little dig on the website, and it does say on the website that the sandwiches are for the walkers only. That's an odd thing, right? So I was discussing this with Sophie this morning, saying we were going to chat about it. And it's a marathon. So, you know, if you're going really, really quick, maybe you don't want sort of real food, but it's trail. And I think the ethos of trail is that you're coming for, you know, it's a picnic with a long walk or whatever, all that sort of stuff. It's the trail ultra ethos is that the aid stations are meant to be full of food. That's some, one of the benefits and the good bits of doing trail is a really nice aid station. I don't, so it strikes me as the sort of aid station that you'd get on a road event. So if the organisers effectively have never really done or haven't done many trail events and they think, oh, well, we're actually giving them more because normally you just get water. It's like, yeah, trail, you get a hell of a lot more than just water and gels. But it seems, I don't know why you wouldn't make enough sandwiches for everybody. I don't know if it was somebody making sandwiches or
no, they brought them in and they were in. Judas was like, well, I saw them. They were like the ones you get across the services. They all looked absolutely delicious. Right. And okay. I'd seen them now. I'd seen the sandwiches. Judas had read the website because he's a very, he's got the dog. So he was a very, and so he read all of it. But most people don't, we all know this, most people don't read websites. Okay. They don't read kit lists. They don't read it. So they wouldn't have known this rule.
Yeah.
They also advertise 6 aid stations and reduce it to 4. And then a particular bugbear of mine is at the end, when Dean got in, there was no water. There was only non-alcoholic beer. They had loads of non-alcoholic beer, but no water. Now, the problem with non-alcoholic beer is, for people like me who have got a problem with alcohol, who are addicts, some of us, that non-alcoholic beer could be a huge trigger for actual beer. And if there's no water available at the end, and that's all there is to drink, that's a really dangerous situation to put somebody in, right? It really is, because you've got the higher finishing a race. You're like, oh, fuck it, I might as well have one. You have one, and the next thing you know, you're in the fucking pub face down in a pint of vodka, which is a really... like dramatic way of saying it, but it's the sort of, you wouldn't give someone a vape, would you? You wouldn't say, oh no, we haven't got any air to breathe, but you can have a vape. Like, it's like the same fucking thing. You need to have water at the end of a race.
Yes.
Julia said there was water when he finished. There wasn't when Dean finished. And I would argue that the people who are out there for the longest are the people that need the provision the most. So they should be able to top up aid stations with food to keep it at the same level. Like, especially on an event like that, where they have loads and loads of entrants and it is a big corporate company behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, and Dean's not going to be, like, Dean's decent runner. He's not going to be, like, literally last.
No, he wasn't. There was walkers, loads of walkers. Yeah.
There we go, right. So they've got a lot of the day left to supply people with water. If and I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt. If they've just misjudged how much water they needed to have, you send somebody to Tesco's, you buy as many of the 5-litre bottles as you can. Fine, it's not good to be having all the plastic, whatever, but you just get through the day and you don't make the mistake again. But it seems really odd to not have some sort of, I mean, do you know where the, I don't know where the finish was. Like, if it was in, again, if it was in like a village hall or something, you'd think you'd just sort of open a tap up. Not many places finish in the middle of nowhere. Because the whole, so I remember that I signed up to their mailing list, I think, because again, all their branding and everything looks really good. The idea of going from like the middle of the city and running onto the trails really good. I did events a few years ago. They don't do them anymore, but they called it Rail to Trail, where we were living in London at the time. Well, no, we weren't. Anyway, the idea was that you could go from London, get the train out for half an hour, run from the train station and do like really good marathons and things from there. So the concept is really good and works. But they seem to have sort of cocked up the execution of it a little bit. I mean, with toilets, it's sort of like medical stuff in that it's incredibly frustrating spending out loads of money for what is effectively 15 minutes because you buy all the toilets. When people start turning up, there's plenty. It's just that 15 minutes before they start where you need all those toilets. And each toilet, like, it's not cheap. They're probably 100, 150, depending on the local market, per toilet. But your golden rule is you need to be having at least one toilet per 50 people.
Right. You get 500 people starting the race, 5 toilets.
Right. And if they've got 5 hidden around the back somewhere, then you have a volunteer standing in the queue shouting, there's more toilets over there. And you
But the other thing is, with the whole She Races thing, we're not looking to be... Women are not looking to be treated special. We're looking to be treated equal. If you've got men's urinals, have women's urinals as well. Because that is completely ridiculous.
With the urinals, we had urinals at 100 Hills, I think this year or last year. So we were like, right, we'll get urinals and we'll have the toilets and maybe 3 people use the urinal. That's a complete waste of time because, without getting too graphic, people don't need a wee before they start, do they?
They need to have a big poo, don't they?
So
they have female urinals at the start of London Marathon, and they're well used.
Yeah, maybe if you've got that quantity of people,
I would argue that you need to start doing this stuff to make it normal, so that more people use them. Like, I really honestly would. But the point is, I don't think it's enough. Julia said at the end of the race, sent me a very long WhatsApp because I like to get more people's points. He said overall the end was pretty good when he was there. Until after Dean left, as I filled up when Susan got back for the journey home. They had water when Julius got there, so that was good. I was allowed as many zero beers, pointless zero sugar drinks, flapjacks and crisps as I wanted at the end. So obviously they had provision at the end. It was on the village green, so it was a very chilled finish. And then he said the shuttle bus, he paid for the shuttle bus, but he wasn't allowed to use it. As they said no dogs, despite being able to run with the dogs. That was crap. So he tied Pickle to the back of the shuttle bus and just let it drag her along. But that's what he said about the end of it. I have sent them an email. And to be honest with you, I think it's like most of these fucking race companies. There's always, they never get it quite right. You get the gold standard, like the Centurions, don't you? And like, you know, how Big Bear basically have a blueprint of Centurions. So you always have loads of stuff available and it's lapped. So you come back to the same place. But listener, if you have had an experience at a race that you would like us to look at or talk about, then please do send us an email, ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com, or drop into our DMs. We're always happy to have a look at them, but also it's important to see both sides of this is a great race. This wasn't as good as it could be, because when I've emailed trail events, I put all this stuff in there, and I think it's good for them to have feedback from people as well, because if they don't have feedback, they can never improve, can they? I didn't see it, and also I don't know what the medical provision was on Rachel's question. I don't know what that was. So there you go.
But I think with a lot of these events, if it's like their first go, you can make mistakes. I mean, when I started, I intentionally limited the numbers really low, because I thought if there's less people there, there's less people to see me making mistakes. And if there are mistakes, I can make up for it easier. Mm. But if you're going to go all out and your first event, because I think they're going to put three events on, because they're doing three different cities, but I think this might be the first event. Going back through their Instagram, I couldn't see like an event happening. I don't know. But if this is their first event and drop the ball in a few places, and then the next one they correct it, brilliant. Like, it's like I say, the concept is quite good, going from the middle of cities and running out. It can work nicely. If they've got the gist of it, then you just need to fine-tune it. But sometimes mistakes people make are so basic. You know, I probably shouldn't have made that the first time, but I, on my first event, we bought gazebos from eBay for 70 quid, and the lightest bit of wind
broke. Fucking hell, you idiot. So my gazebo cost £800, and it's worth every single penny, because I've probably used it for 10 years. It's really heavy.
So come the second event, we then went to the gazebo shop, and I mean, I think
yours is which gazebo wins.
Yeah, well, yours is printed, isn't it? So I don't get mine printed. But I now have 8 really good ones that I'm still using the original, so they've done 100 events. And you realise that you can't save money on those things. So, you know, you learn from your mistakes, but I always find it, I guess, quite ballsy, really, for people to sort of put a great big event on, and it's like, don't you have a practice and just make sure you've got your bit sorted, and then get all the people. But I guess it's just how people want to run a business. It's up to them, really, isn't it?
Do you want me to tell you, to give you some business advice? Do you want me to give you my big race idea?
Yeah.
Well, when I was in Courmayeur, I spent quite a lot of time with AJ Hansbaugh. He's the double Paddy Buckley round record holder. He's 25. So I spent quite a lot of time asking AJ what was wrong with him. Like, why aren't you out shagging girls, taking drugs? Why are you doing double Paddy Buckley rounds? But we also had some good chats about ideas for races. And this is the one that we came up with that we think is the best one, right? It's called the Backyard Tattoo Ultra. So it's a backyard ultra, but every lap you have to get a tattoo. So you have people sat there with their guns, and so you have to, and you either I choose your design or AJ chooses your design, and it's probably going to be quite big, right? And so they're going to work on the tattoo every lap. So you stop, and then they start doing it, and then suddenly the bell goes, and then you have to go again. And then, so it's bleeding and the ink's running everywhere. And then they come back, you come back, they wipe it quickly. And by the way, while they're doing the tattoo, you have to be eating and doing all the other things you're doing. Your crew have to be like filling up your bottles and stuff.
Yeah.
And we think that the winner would be the person with the most completest tattoo at the end. What do you think about that for a race idea?
I mean, again, you might need the medic. I'd hope that that would have good medical provision because that could potentially be an issue, I think.
You're putting it on, so you just need loads of local tattoo artists. We could do it at the tattoo
Be
convention
brilliant.
in the NEC.
What?
The
The
tattoo
what?
convention at the NEC, we could do it there. Because they'll all be
Okay.
there, won't they? The tattooists.
And they could run, I mean, the NEC is huge, so they could like run a lap,
Yeah.
go back, run in, could just do it. I don't know. Yeah.
Are you saying yes then to that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, or you could have, just for my events, just for my normal 6-hour events, we have a tattoo artist and they can just mark off, just do like a tally chart on each lap that you do.
Perfect. We also did discuss that, but we thought it was too simple. But for your events, you just need one artist, don't you? Because it's just one line. And then you get a free tattoo with every race.
Yeah. And I do get people, they're like, oh, how many laps have I done? It's like, well, just check your tattoo, mate.
Just check your bleeding wound on your arm, mate.
And then we'd know who the people who came to lots of events would be. So I think I've said before, Brian's been to 60-odd events. He'd just be full of little, I think, what do you call it? Tallies?
Yeah, little
Like the
prison
tally
tallies all
gate.
over his arm.
Yeah,
Oh,
just
it's
be
so
full
good,
of it
wouldn't
all
it?
over.
Yeah, like a walking advert. Like, that's what you want, a walking advert. And then at the
Yeah.
end, maybe they could get a bear paw or something. I don't know. I don't
Yeah, we could
know.
brand them. We'll
We
say
could.
we'll do tattoos and then we'll just do the hot poker.
Yeah.
So like, when you're finished, I won't ring the bell, but I will give you a big
Yeah,
hot
and
poker.
you can ring the bell because it'll hurt.
Yeah,
I think this is because people like brutal, don't they? They love brutal.
that
So
would be brutal.
it would be
Would we be
quite.
allowed to call that brutal? Would that be all right?
Big Bear Brutal XXXXX. And it could be, this
Yeah.
is Big Bear for big boys. We could do a really good advert for it. We'll
I
hire
don't.
Billy Billingham from SAS Who Dares Wins to do the advert for it.
I don't know if calling my event Big Bear for Big Boys might bring a slightly different crowd
Might bring all the
to
boys to the
what.
yard.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there could be people turn up very disappointed with
Big
what
Bear
they
for
actually
Big
get.
Boys XXXL.
You're right. Why are you writing that down?
Because I'm going to use it for a t-shirt. I'm going to use it for the name of the pod. I'm going to market it slightly differently to a new audience, see if what
Excellent.
happens.
Yeah, we've got a massive boom in listeners.
Yeah, we have. And lots of complaints. Not what I thought it was going to be.
Not the financial advice I wanted.
Oh, no, we can have loads. We can have medics, insurance people, financial advisors. Oh, and everybody, the people from TradeScape contacting us to tell us that we've got everything wrong. Anyway, this has been a fun time. What are you, have you got any more events? You've got a few, you've got one left this year, two left?
So 1 6-hour, then followed up by the 10K in the evening, and then I'm down at Wendover for Centurion for the Wendover 50, and then I'll be reminding you of your life choices at Black Boys the window at the Winter Downs 200.
What is Black Boys? I
It's
saw that
I
on
don't
the
know
map
why
and I'm like, what,
it's a
why is it
village
called
hall.
that?
No
Right.
idea. It's a village hall, tiny little village. I mean, to be honest, I got there in the dark and left tired, so I didn't really explore.
How far in is that? It's not that far in, is it?
First aid station, so
Oh,
50 miles.
perfect. So it's not far in at all. So I'll be chirping.
No.
I'll be chirpy.
Barely started.
I'll be chirping.
Yeah, I don't, it's a do you know when you plan to get in? What sort of have you
I'm
planned?
not looking at times. I'm not planning times yet. I'm planning sleeps. So I'll be sleeping in my vehicle, I think. I don't want to sleep in the aid stations because it's too much noise and stuff. So I'll be sleeping between 3 and 5 a.m. wherever I am.
Okay.
And I'm just, because I feel like if I get 90 minutes, an hour to 90 minutes, three times, I'll actually be able to smash it and like come out of it pretty quickly. Like, as in, ideally between 70 and 80 hours, I'd like to finish in. But that's plan A, and then plan B is when it all goes tits. Because the thing I'm most worried about is it raining constantly for the whole 3 days. Because if it rains constantly for the whole fucking 3 days, it's going to be very, very challenging. But before I
Yeah.
do that, I'm going to do the OM for practice, raining
That's cool.
for 2 days. So,
I think one of my 2020 events that got cancelled was the mini om that they were going to do at Cannock Chase, and they've not done it since. Then they've sort of moved away from it.
I mean, Cannock Chase isn't really Glen Affray, is it? Which is where it's going to be.
No, I don't know. Is that Scotland?
Yeah.
Okay, but Cannock
Yeah.
Chase is quite like I think they did it a couple of years, and then the year, like I said, the year I wanted to do it, there was a bug that went around. But it's vast. So in terms of like fine hilliness, it's not the same as like Scotland, but it is vast. It works really well for that sort of event, I think. And there's a lot closer. Only takes me like 1 hour and 20 minutes. I think Scotland's a bit further away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going, well, we'll see what happens, but I'm not in charge of navigation. I'm in charge of carrying heavy bags and keeping my mouth shut. Damien's in charge of navigation. So, but I'm quite looking forward to it. But I'm also at the moment I'm going through that the system. So the system is like how to keep myself warm and dry. That is the most important thing. But at the moment it's a bit too warm to be testing systems because it's not actually it's raining, but it's not cold. So no. I need it to get a bit colder. But the most important thing is how I'm going to keep myself warm and dry, and like that, and that will dictate my thought processes, and my thought processes obviously lead to feelings, actions, results. So. We'll see what happens. But actually, I am quite looking forward to it, even though it's going to be dark for like ever. I'm looking forward to it. There's some good, there's some other good people doing it as well. And it'll be nice
you've
to
not
see
done,
friendly face.
You've not done the OM before, have you?
Oh, the OM? No, I've not done that. I'm talking about the 200. The OM's the OM. It's only a couple of days. So the OM is like, it's only 2 days. So it's all right. I can cope with the OM. I can cope with that.
But it's a funky thing, right? Like you have to go out and get, it's not just an event. Like,
it's not a race.
It's a different.
Yeah, it's basically, it's orienteering on crack. So,
yeah.
But I don't have to worry about the navigation because Damien's doing that. The reason we're going is so that he can practice his nap. So I'm
sure
just
that
like,
means that's your biggest worry.
Not really.
I mean, because
if he gets it wrong, he gets it wrong. It's got nothing to do with me. And I'll just take the piss.
Yeah, but you'll be there. So when you end up sort of, I don't know, hitting the edge of Scotland, thinking you're meant to be somewhere else,
but when we end up
you're still going to be
at
there.
The lighthouse at top of Cape Wrap, I'm like, I think we've gone wrong.
Yeah. What do you, I don't know my geography of Scotland, but my point, like, if you're not in control of it,
if you're not in control of it, then you could just like, I'm not in control of this. So you could be totally chilled about it. I just follow that fucking twerp. He might get it right. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we did go running near his house the other day. It was supposed to be a 60-minute run. It turned into a 95-minute run because he got fucking lost and went the wrong way outside the back of his own house. So I don't
I'm sure
know.
I'll be fine. I'm sure I'll be fine in rural Scotland.
Yeah, we'll be absolutely fine. I can't wait. Anyway, I love you. Thanks for doing this. And, what have you got? November. There's an event in November. It's not too late, everybody,
Yes.
to enter the big bed
No.
in November.
Do you
Fandango.
want to enter? Do you want to enter? Get in now. It's going to sell out.
It is going to sell out, and
Guarantee.
Britain's most brutal big boy race. And thanks for coming.
Thanks,
I love
Rebecca.
You. I'll speak to you later. Bye.
Cheers, Amy. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System. We love you listeners and we love your feedback. So if you've got a little bit of time to rate and review us where you get your pods, that would be amazing. If you could share us with your fellow runners, running clubs, anybody you think might be interested, that would be great too. And if you've got any correspondence, please do send it to us at the usual places. You can email us, ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. You can drop us a DM on Instagram. We love DMs and voice notes. It's ultrasoundsystempod. Or you can send a carrier pigeon or letter to P.O. Box. We don't have a P.O. Box, but remember when P.O. Boxes were a thing. We love you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.